Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
But the American people should know this. In a changing world, my commitment to protecting religious liberty is and always will be unwavering.
It shouldn't take a church and church groups and colleges in America to have to sue their federal government to protect their religious liberties.
The feminist movement is dependent on abortion and daycare. Those are the two things that remove children or babies from the equation so that we can achieve this faux version of equality.
Shall the Father have compassion upon Nineveh? Jesus' death says yes, yes, 1,000 times and forever yes.
I think that if Houston Central was going to be a Navy vessel, it would be a nuclear-powered theological aircraft carrier.
One of the most comforting images that Scripture provides for the sinner who feels exposed in his sin, who realizes, as our first parents, after their first sin in the garden, realized to their great shame, to their horror, that they were naked. And beyond just the shame of being uncovered physically, they realized that they were now exposed in all of their depravity that they had taken in exchange for that perfect righteousness God had created them in. They're exposed in all their depravity before God himself. They run and they hide, and God clothes them then and makes a promise to clothe them in a covering that will avail before him, a covering that will be Christ's own righteousness. We're going to be talking about that biblical theme of being clothed or robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ a little bit later on this Friday afternoon, October the 5th. Dr. Charles Geeshan will be with us in hour two of the program to talk about that, taking us through Old and New Testament, being clothed in Christ's righteousness. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the meantime, we have listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That comment line is always open for your questions and your comments, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. But before the comment line, let's get to some listener email.
Matt writes, "Wow, you guys really spent a lot of time talking about yourselves during the September 21st comment line / listener emails. Are you not getting enough emails and phone comments, or are you just little narcissists? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Matt."
I think probably the second. Usually we have plenty of email to tide us over. Sometimes we're a little slim on email, to be honest. But I think it probably has more to do with our narcissism than anything else. We like to engage in a little what we call inane banter from time to time, especially when there's we're coming back from vacation or we're significant events. Like recently, we were talking about Craigie's wedding.
That was that show.
Oh, it was?
Yes, that was the show.
And so we were talking about Craigie getting married.
Exactly. We spent the first segment, and I thought our listeners would like to have an update on Craig's, honeymoon.
Okay, I'll readily admit there's more than enough narcissism to go around at LPR. I'll readily admit that. It was a significant event in Craig's life. That does make it, by the way, believe it or not, a significant event in our listeners' lives, too. Many people, like we do, follow the life of Craig Feidinger. We live vicariously through him practically. So, the listeners like to know what's happened, and that was a big event for Craig and our director of business operations. So that's probably why we spent as much time talking about it as we did.
John writes, "I listened to some of Issues Etc. yesterday. During the program, there was some of the usual promotional kinds of stuff about sponsors. Included was a reference to listeners of the program being the smartest listeners in radio or something like that. Perhaps I'm getting too sensitive, but I don't believe that it is an appropriate message, even if tongue-in-cheek, for a station putting out a Christian message. We are to be humble, and it sounded somewhat Rush Limbaugh-ish to me, and I find his overall message and the manner of his presentation to be repulsive," writes John.
Well, I mean, it's really, we're trying to give credit where credit is due. I mean, to speak in terms of humility. It's not something we're saying so much about the program as it is about our listeners. Look, let me just put it to you this way. If you're unfamiliar with Issues, et cetera, before this, we have learned the hard way. We knew it before, but we've really learned a double lesson here at Issues, et cetera. After our show was first produced by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and then canceled abruptly without any explanation in 2008, we learned that this show is as much about the listeners as anything else. What do the listeners tune in for? They tune in for the great guests and the topics, and that's quite true. But the listeners make this show. They keep this show on the air, literally. And so we don't ever want to pass up an opportunity to acknowledge our listeners for the vital part they play in Issues, etc. They're very appreciative to us. They really, really are. But we want to let them know how – that's why we have lines like, we love our on-demand listeners, because we really do. And when we say smartest listeners in radio, we're not trying to boast. Well, yes, we are. We're trying to boast about the listeners who have been so kind, so generous, and are so good to us just for listening. And then when they make a contribution to the show, we get some of our best ideas from our listeners. And we just want to make sure that we give credit where credit's due. There's nothing more to it than that, really.
And what we've been impressed with over the years is that they're not afraid to challenge us. We always, like, no diddle heads. The guy mentioned Rush
Absolutely.
Limbaugh. We
used to have a tagline. I don't think we still do
no
we?
No diddle heads
no
allowed.
No Lutheran diddle heads allowed or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we don't want listeners who are yes men and women, you know, who are company men and women. We want listeners who think for themselves. And when we find them thinking for themselves, we like to acknowledge that.
We want them to be Berean listeners.
Yeah. Critical thinking. Critical thinking. And call us when we make a mistake, we want them to call it. We don't like... I mean, criticism makes for great radio. We don't like being criticized. It stings a little bit every time. Okay, that's true. But it makes the show better. It does.
And one of the things we don't want to do is, like, go get them Wilkin, go get them Whedon, go get them, and then I don't apply what I've learned in that, or I just spout off what those people say. What
right.
we like is our people take it. And they actually, we equip the priesthood of all believers. They take it out in their vocations, various vocations around the world.
There's a big difference between cheerleaders and listeners who are engaged. And listeners who listen just because they want to hear what they believe, what they already believe affirmed. We're going to do that a lot just by default because we try to stay centered on the truth. But we really, when we say equipping the priesthood of all believers, we really are serious about that.
It's from J.W. J.W. says, I'd like to preface this by saying I do enjoy Issues, etc. greatly. I sometimes find, however, that there is a bit of an over-eagerness to suggest that the other is somehow always inherently bad. What I mean can be illustrated by looking at the episode of Megachurch's God is Like a Drug. What I found really odd is the continued pressing that the megachurch is somehow only about emotion or manipulation, or that the use of things to draw out emotions is somehow inherently bad. I really don't see how this can be anything but a misrepresentation of worship in general. Think of liturgical worship. I love liturgy. I love a quiet church atmosphere with the organ playing hymns and the lights down just a little low, likely because the light fixtures were installed 50-plus years ago, and so they aren't terribly efficient in getting the building lit. The liturgy causes strong emotional responses in me. The pronouncement of the forgiveness of my sins fills me with love and joy, while the confession of sins inspires contrition and anger at my own sins, while again feeling joy for the grace of God. These are all emotional responses, and I can't help but think that the liturgy is designed in such a way that these responses are directed towards God. Why did Issues, etc. make it seem like emotions are somehow inherently wrong in worship? I just don't get it. Not only that, but how is Issues, etc. not doing the exact same thing on their program? For example, going into one of the breaks, the audio song clip was Sweet Emotion. If Issues, etc. didn't exactly plan to play of the emotions their listeners, who are already skeptical of megachurches, and the emotions they convey, then I'll eat my hat. Let's be honest here. Emotions are part of human experience. Why treat them as though they are inherently wrong? I'm not suggesting no megachurch can be inherently manipulative, but it seemed Issues, etc. was suggesting the opposite. All are inherently manipulative. Come on. Seriously? No megachurch whatsoever is capable of gospel truth? Really? Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, JW.
I don't think we said no megachurch is inherently capable of gospel truth. I don't think we've ever said that. And I don't think we've ever said, especially when we were talking about this, we had a interview with someone who had written, who had done research. Who is the guy that we talked to, Jeff, who had done the research into God as a drug?
University of Washington. Hold on a second. Steve, I can't remember his name, Dr. something.
We'll get his name here in a second. And then we did some open lines afterwards asking our listeners to react to it. And the guy who did the study was coming at it from a purely sociological, not a theological viewpoint at all, as far as I could tell. Now, a couple things to say. First of all, we've never said that emotions are wrong. We've never said that emotions in the liturgy are wrong. What is it that actually creates those emotional reactions in the liturgy? It's the Word of God. Now, I wouldn't call that manipulation. I would just call the proper effect of God's Word, the proper emotional effect of God's Word on a sinner and of both law and gospel. Now, I'll go beyond what the listener has accused us of, though, because emotions are not wrong. Emotions in worship are not wrong. They are a good and salutary byproduct of, in the best of all possible worlds, of God's Word speaking clearly through the liturgy. But when a church uses means to manipulate their emotion, your emotions that are not God's Word, lights, loud music, you know what it is. You know what it is. The drumming beat of the music, whatever it is that that does have an emotional effect on you, that doesn't need God's Word to operate that way, doesn't need God's Word to create that in you. Like the soundtrack of a movie that can create tension or happiness or sadness, they're using those elements purely to manipulate their emotions. And then they tell you that it's God doing it? That kind of manipulation is evil. It is malicious. It is blasphemous. For them to use the lights and the music and the drums to create an emotional effect in you and then tell you that was God and not them, that's a lie. We'll be right back.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, WittenbergAcademy.org, to find out more.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk. We'll go through listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday afternoon, October the 5th. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Charles Geeshan will join us. We'll talk about the biblical theme of being robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, I was looking for a name before the break, Jeff, of the guest that we had on that sociologist who had done the study, God is Like a Drug.
Dr. James Wellman of the University of Washington.
So we interviewed him, and then we talked with our audience about the megachurch phenomenon and how what he discovered is, and this was purely from a sociological standpoint on his part, he discovered that the average attenders, and this is a huge study he did, of people who regularly attend megachurches, is that they consider the high that they get from worship kind of their contact with God. Now, the question I raised is not so much, is that experience true or false? Are they really having that experience? They're having some kind of an experience. My question is, what does that experience come from? Okay, you go to, let's talk about it in terms of the baseball playoffs, all right? You go to the big games, and what do they have at the game that is there to enhance the experience? Besides the hot dogs and the beer, you've got a huge crowd. That in itself is kind of awe-inspiring. You step out, you're looking down the tiers, and you just see a sea. If you're a Cardinals fan like me, you see a sea of red. It's amazing. Then they have all of the lights. They have the scoreboard. They have the music. Every guy's got his own theme music. If there's a home run, there are fireworks. That's standard operating procedure now in baseball. They've got the pregame, they've got the postgame, and it's a very exciting experience if you enjoy the sport. It really is. You're not even talking about the game yet, are you? All of that is there to get you going, to make that the very best, most pleasurable sporting event experience you could possibly have, and that's how they sell tickets. They make it an exciting experience for the fan. Football is the same, any other sport, they do the same thing. It's multimedia. It's there to enhance the experience. So you walk away saying that was fun, or that was exciting, or that was once in a lifetime, right? Well, you know, the megachurch uses exactly the same kind of, well, let's call it what it is. In the case of baseball, we expect it to happen. That's what they're going to do. That's part of what we pay our ticket for. When you go into church, it's supposed to be honest, truthful. You're not supposed to be hyped or manipulated. And there are many, not all, but there are many megachurches that have learned that one of the ways you enhance the experience, that you send the people out the door saying, that was great, that was exciting, that was once in a lifetime, like so many members and attenders of megachurches end up saying, is you give them the show. And it's about the lights, it's about the music, it's about the large crowd, it's about all of that, all of those things that go into enhance the experience. And here's the part that I said before the break is just downright evil and manipulative. You tell people, well, that was God doing that. These things don't happen by accident. The show is carefully planned. The music is carefully planned to create the experience, the emotional experience. What's the difference with the liturgy? The liturgy is there to deliver God's word. It doesn't really have a goal of making you feel one way or the other. That's why so many people find it so darn boring. And yet it does have that effect. Is it sometimes the music? Yeah. Is it sometimes the ambiance? Yeah. But it's not the goal to create a certain kind of mood or atmosphere or experience. That's a side benefit, if you will. When a church engages all of the mechanisms of manipulation to create that experience and then tells you, oh, you know what that was? That was the Holy Spirit. That was God. When they know full well, at least the people coordinating the show know full well, that it really was the lights. It really was how they patterned the music. It really was the smoke machine and the way that they put the music together to kind of build an emotional experience. We used to call it charlatanism. When someone said, look, this is God doing this, when they were behind the curtain pulling the strings and moving the levers.
Now, this is Paul in Milwaukee regarding the September 28th program on St. Michael and the angels. The distinction was made between the angels and human beings as separate creations of God. If the angels are not human beings, why is Michael designated a saint? Thanks for listening.
It's a great question. In fact, that was kind of the heart of the question that I first asked when we were talking about St. Michael and all angels with the Dr. Bamey at the time. He was saying, and his answer was, well, I can tell you where the celebration of the day as a saint day came from. And he said he believed it had to do with the founding of the St. Michael's Church, and that's why the day was associated with St. Michael's Church. But he couldn't exactly tell us where the designation for Michael as a saint comes from. Now, part of the problem is our understanding of that simple little word saint, because the biblical term for saint, which is thoroughly biblical, it's used in Old and New Testament, simply means holy one. It can apply to those of us who have been made holy by the righteousness of Christ. That's how Paul uses the term when he writes to the saints in Corinth. Those who are holy before God because of Christ's righteousness. It can also, rightly, although not as often, refer to those who are holy by virtue of their creation and their confirmation in that holiness, the holy saints. We do talk about, the holy angels. We do talk about the holy angels. So to refer to Michael as saint, maybe we should call the day, so that we avoid any confusion, Holy Michael and All Angels. Because what we're celebrating are the holy angels of God. What we're giving thanks to God for are his angelic messengers, by which he has done so much, continues to do so much for us, for Christ's sake. But we have to readily admit, I hope my first question in our interview made that clear, we have to readily admit that when we say St. Michael, we are not equating angels with men, because Scripture forbids us to do such a thing. They are two different classes of created beings. They ought to be considered distinct, if for only one reason, and that, read the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, that it is not with angels that God is concerned, but with man. And it is not an angel that the Son of God became, but man to redeem us. So it's an important distinction. I thank you for raising it again, an important distinction to maintain. By the way, if you'd like to leave a question, a comment on anything you've heard on Issues Etc., if you listen on demand, if you're listening live, our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
Dana in Indiana writes, I enjoyed the recent Sunday school lesson discussion about the walls of Jericho. However, I have a slight correction. When the guest mentioned the VeggieTales movie about the walls of Jericho, Josh and the Big Wall, he said there were Italian vegetables yelling at the Israelites. They were actually French peas. As a former evangelical, we owned almost all of the VeggieTales movies prior to converting to confessional Lutheranism. We still own a few, but now the movies are mainly discussions about how a morality tale is not the same as Christianity. The early ones are really funny, though, as long as you don't get bogged down in the law message. I understand that your guest was not trying to promote VeggieTales, and I appreciated his comment about Phil Vischer's realization about the problems with the shows. However, while we are on the topic, I wanted to say that our children have experienced a number of Sunday school classes in the confessional LCMS that consisted of watching VeggieTales. I doubt that any teachers taking the time to listen to your programs about the Sunday school lessons would do this to their students, but I'm going to make a plea anyway that Sunday school teachers do not do this. That is an appalling use of Sunday school time. Our children, as former evangelicals and as middle schoolers, were insulted when they had to sit through an episode of King George and the Ducky and talk about what they learned. Thanks for the show, writes Dana in Indiana.
Yeah, I think that, look, let's put it this way. The guys who put together VeggieTales are obviously an extremely talented group of people. For the humor, it is some of the funniest stuff you'll ever watch in terms of animation. It's funny. They're very clever. They butcher the biblical text. And I'm not talking about, depicting the various people, biblical characters or parabiblical characters as vegetables or fruits. That's something you might do with children, okay? That's not how I faulted. It's precisely for the reason that the listener mentions, that basically every story becomes a morality tale, and the moral of the story is, which is precisely not the message of those Old and New Testament stories. It's quite clear, and apparently the creator of VeggieTales has realized this some years back, that the Bible isn't to be mined for moral lessons. Does it contain moral lessons? Absolutely. Be ye perfect is its primary moral lesson there, as commanded by the Ten Commandments. It's primarily to show us Scripture, Old and New Testament, to show us the one who kept the moral law in our place, Jesus Christ, which is something that the VeggieTales didn't do, and I'll tell you why. How do you depict Jesus as a vegetable or a fruit? What's he going to be? Why didn't because the very it's part of that medium is the message. When you're going to make it funny, it's hard to depict things like a crucifixion. How can you tell? Why is it that the VeggieTales never told the central message? None of their videos ever told the central story of Good Friday. Why? What are you going to do? Have Jesus be a cucumber up on a cross? Suddenly people look at it and say, what the heck are we doing? And it's really hard to depict Good Friday. Lay aside the fact that you've got a cucumber nailed to the cross. It's very hard to depict Good Friday and draw from it, now this is what you should do, kiddies. It kind of highlights, and I think that's why they never did a Good Friday edition of the VeggieTales. It just highlights how they were missing the point of Scripture. Are they funny? Yeah. Are they entertaining? Yes. But yet another example of missing the point of Scripture entirely. We'll be right back.
As easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
We have a new Issues Etc. book of the month for October that is actually a 4-CD set that you are definitely going to want to get. It's called Martin Luther Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. It's 4 CDs, 39 hymns from the pen of the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress. You all know that one. We all believe in one true God. From heaven above to earth I come. From depths of woe I cry to thee. We all believe in one true God. There are more. There are, 35 more than that. It's called Martin Luther Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. It's available from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call and order this 4-CD set. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Martin Luther Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October. You can also browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org.
This email comes from Alice. She says, what is your mission statement? Who do you represent? What do you believe? None of this is on your website. I've enjoyed the podcast, but your website is sorely lacking in information. Please add this information so when we pass the website on to others, people there can clearly see who you are and what you believe. Thanks for the email, Alice.
Well, I guess I had never even thought about having a mission statement. This is a radio program. I think the mission statement's pretty obvious. We're here to do a theological talk show that is unapologetically Lutheran. So, and listening to it just for, you know, 1 or 2 hours makes that rather clear. Could we have one? Yes, although I hesitate to do mission statements. They tend to sometimes trivialize what we're trying to do. I mean, we've often said that Issues Etc. has a twofold goal, and that is to highlight the truths rediscovered in the 16th century Reformation, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, for Christ's sake alone, and all of this is revealed in Scripture alone, and also to respond to the illogical postmodern mindset that permeates so much of the world's and Christian thinking on key scriptural issues, especially those pertaining to life and marriage and family. And so, but that's hard to put, you know, that took me a minute to say, and a mission statement shouldn't take a minute to say. So we often say, good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker. And part of the reason we don't have a mission statement is because sometimes good theology doesn't fit into a mission statement either. We ask our listeners to listen. And I'm not trying to be smart or cute about that. Who do we represent? We represent nothing more than Lutheran Public Radio. We are an independent radio station, radio program. We are independent on purpose. We have as our beliefs, and I think it's quite clear from, you know, listening to the program that our beliefs are based in the Lutheran Confessions, the 1580 Book of Concord, if you want to know what it is we believe. That's why we have taglines like when we say Lutheran, it's not a slogan, it's a confession. When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. We don't mean it is a label. We mean it as, you know, do you want to know what a Lutheran believes? Well, look at the Lutheran Confessions. And again, I'm not trying to be coy or avoid the issue, but the best way for people to learn what it is we believe, and the issue of who we represent is really moot. We speak for ourselves. We don't represent any organization, any parachurch organization, any denomination. We don't pretend to. But we do represent the Lutheran position on Scripture and the Confessions. And I think that's readily abundant through just a quick listen to Issues, Etc.
Did you mention that you're an ordained minister in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
I did not. No, I am a 22-year veteran of the pastoral ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and serve as an assistant pastor at a Lutheran congregation. And so, but I don't represent my congregation on the radio. Not officially. I think I represent them in some sense, but not officially. I don't represent the Missouri Synod on the radio. It is not my intention to do that. What I hope to do is, and this is a joint effort through both the host and the guests that we have on, to represent the truth. And I know that sounds like a smart aleck answer, but it isn't. That's what we're trying to represent here.
Jan in Atlanta writes, hi, my questions are based on the passage below. This has to do with your pastor's roundtable on Wednesday. And she says, dealing with the subject of Jesus, what he had to say in Matthew and divorce. She goes to Malachi 2:16. Is God saying that divorce is analogous with covering one's spouse garment with violence, or is divorce equal to violence? Verse 15 seems to suggest that the goal of marriage is godly offspring thoughts. If Christ is married to his church, who are our offspring? Thanks. Do you want me to read the passage real quick from Malachi?
Yeah, why don't you read that?
Malachi 2, this is verses 13 through 16. And this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife, but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and do not be faithless.
God is speaking in a twofold sense there, and I think we brought it out in our conversation with our pastor's roundtable. Why does God hate divorce? Because human marriage is a picture of something greater and more enduring, and that is God's faithfulness to his people, especially through the groom and his bride, the church. That's Ephesians chapter 5. That's the greater and more enduring reality of which human marriage is but a picture, but a parable. So that would mean, and this is something, as you see there in that Malachi passage that runs through Old and New Testament, adultery or divorce, I think they're equated. Jesus does. He says the problem with divorce is adultery. The problem with divorce is when a man divorces his wife and marries another, he commits adultery. And it's same for the women. So adultery is unfaithfulness in human marriage. And adultery in that greater, more enduring sense is, as he says quite clearly there, they have forgotten the wife of their youth. And he's speaking not only about their earthly wives, but he's speaking about the covenant that he had made with them, the promise that he had sealed with them by the blood of the sacrifice, and that they have forgotten their God. And they've been faithless to their God. And it's not just in Malachi, but many places elsewhere where God equates idolatry, that is going after other gods, with adultery. So, as our pastor's roundtable said, God just doesn't hate divorce because it's a sin, it's on his list of bad things. He just doesn't hate divorce because it has terrible consequences in the family, which it certainly does. He hates divorce even more so because it is a picture in our lives of breaking a covenant that God has vowed never to break with us. And it is a picture, it is a breaking of the picture of the faithfulness of that covenant, which is human marriage, that he's given to us as a gift. I mean, and as to the question of whether divorce is equated with violence, I don't know enough about the passage on a cursory reading to comment on the connection between divorce and violence, but I think that's the best we can do.
This is Herman calling September 28th. Just managed to come around to hear the presentation by Dr. Carl Weber from Minnesota on the Marriage Protection Amendment that was on earlier in the week. Appreciate following up on my suggestion. And Dr. Weber, no relation to me, did an excellent commanding job of presenting the matter in terms of the overall perspective there and the issues. Very good, very timely, very insightful. Thank you very much.
You know what? We always like getting suggestions, show suggestions from our listeners. They sometimes give us the very best ones. And we get a lot of them. Some of them are great ideas. Some of them are ideas that we've had before. Some of them are shows we've actually done before. And we like to respond and say, you know, we did that one. But look, if you ever hear us on any subject and you say, I know who you should talk to, we can't guarantee that we'll get them on as a guest. But we will take our listeners' suggestions very seriously under advisement, especially when it comes to shows and topics. Some of the very best guests that we've had have actually been suggestions from listeners. We're not omniscient. We don't know every guest there is out there. If you've heard of somebody, you say, I'd like to hear them on Issues, etc., we want to hear from you. And a great place to make those suggestions, the Issues, etc., comment line, 618-223-8382. If whether it's a guest or a topic, 618-223-8382. 323-8382.
This email comes from, let's see, it comes from Drew. He says, when exactly did Jesus take on the sins of the world?
What have I got, a minute and a half here before the break? Yeah. Since Scripture doesn't answer the question, we want to look at it in a holistic way. Because Scripture doesn't say he began to bear the sins of the world at this point. And usually we'll talk in kind of common parlance as though Jesus is bearing the sins of the world as he goes to the cross. He's going to go bear the sins of the world. What do we know? We know that from his baptism, he is called the Lamb of God who is carrying, present tense, the sins of the world. So he's already bearing them there. We know that already at his birth, he is hailed as the Savior of the world. He's hailed as the one who will bring peace. So he's already bearing them there. He's spoken of in the Annunciation, that is, at his conception, when the angel speaks of him, and when his new mother, the Virgin Mary, speaks of him as a Savior. So he's already bearing them there. So I think we can say quite safely that from the very beginning of his incarnation, all the way to his death on the cross, he is the sin bearer. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If you had to put a point on when it started with his conception there in the womb of the Virgin Mary, when he takes on human flesh and begins to bear our sins. We'll be right back. What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's CLAMAVI.com.
I don't know if I'm looking forward to this or not, because it is a, I'll be honest with you folks, Issues Etc. 24, it's a high point in the year of Issues Etc., our 24-hour live broadcast. It starts at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon on the, is it the 2nd of November, and then runs through the next day, 24 hours continuously, live, on the air, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon on November the 3rd on a Saturday. The reason I don't always look forward to it, at least from a human standpoint, is it's tough staying awake for 24 hours. I'm 48 years old, and staying awake for 24 hours is kind of beyond my capacity, but it's something that we like to do for our listeners here on Issues Etc., to give them a a heavy mainline dose of the very best theological study that we can provide in 24 hours. We have a lineup this year. What we've decided this year, do something a little different. In the past years, we have done books of the Bible for 24 hours, and we've done them in two-hour blocks with the very best guests that we could get together. And this year, we decided that we would do theological topics, the basic theological topics, beginning with the Trinity, talking about Christ, talking about original sin or free will. And we have a great group of Issues Etc. regular guests all lined up, ready to go for those 24 hours. We're only asking each one of them to do 2 hours apiece, but I'll tell you what, when you get into the wee hours of 3 o'clock in the morning, and I don't care where you are, it's tough. Who do we have doing the 3 o'clock shift?
3 o'clock is Pastor Jonathan Mummy from Westfield House in England. So they're 6 hours in front of us. So that'll be 9 to 11 in the morning on Saturday, November 3rd.
Oh, so it's cheesecake for him.
The keys. Yeah.
The tough one's going to be Tom Baker, who's on right before him from 1 to 3, and that's going to be on original sin, well, good works.
And new obedience.
And new obedience.
Yes.
And he's going to be, I think he's going to be coming into the studio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that'll be nice to have somebody coming in the studio for a change to kind of give us a shot in the arm. And because we like people stopping by, and we really appreciate our listeners a lot of them bring food by and things like that.
Just come to watch.
Yeah, just come to watch and wake us up if need be. And one of our listeners' favorite guests, Dr. John Kleinig, will be on from 5 to 7 in the morning on Saturday, November 3rd. He'll be talking about the church, and then because they're about 14 and a half hours in front of us. So that's like, that would be what, in the afternoon sometime or on...
Yes. It's time travel.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Saturday for Dr. Kleinig. He was on last year, too, through the wee hours of the morning.
He's been on every year, I think.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. You want to see what Issues Etc. is all about. Someone asked before the break about, what's your mission statement, who you represent. You want to know what Issues Etc. is all about. Issues Etc. 24 is intended to be that kind of 24-hour heavy dose of what this show is all about. Good theology, the very best guests. And look, even though it's hard to stay awake, I'm well stocked with energy drink. Although I understand from reading the warning labels on those things, you can't drink more than like 2 in 24 hours. So I don't know what I'm going to do. But it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it for our listeners' sake to do Issues Etc. 24. It's coming up Friday, 3 o'clock Central. Note that, please. Beginning 3 o'clock Central, Friday afternoon, November the 2nd. It's going to run for 24 continuous hours, live radio with the very best guests and topics all the way through 3 o'clock Saturday, November the 3rd. And then I go home. My wife usually comes to pick me up because at the point I'm in no shape to drive. I go home and I go to bed. And Jeff goes home and he stays awake. I don't know how he does it, but he does. So... you did stay awake after last time, didn't you?
I don't remember. It's all a blur. It's all a blur. But I haven't touched any of those energy drinks. But the way you've been consuming them lately during the 3 to 5 slot here Central Time, I'm concerned. Good thing Lord Feichninger somehow got a bunch of free ones at some convention because. But if we might not, he's going to have to go to some more conventions and get some freebies, so we're going to have to buy some of those things because you're going through them hand and fist here during the weekday show.
Craig, get the iced tea ones, not these ones that are, I don't know what they're supposed to taste like. They taste like someone has taken a bunch of sweet tarts and ground them up. And they work, but they taste terrible. And the little ones, those little white ones, oh my goodness. That's like taking medicine. I don't know what it is.
What did you had said at the beginning that
rancid raisins? What those tasted like?
Well, look, I'm looking forward to it because see, you during the Daily Show, like Jeff said, you're drinking the energy drinks. What you're doing is you're building up your tolerance. You're building up your tolerance, even though the label only says 4 in a course of 24 hours. I think we should see if we can maybe get you to drink one every 2 to 3 hours, and by the end of the show, you should be able to do IE 48. So.
No.
but yeah, Jeff's right. I mean, that drawer that I had back there was stacked with those things. I mean, we went rafting this summer. They're handing those things out. I told all the guys, okay. I'm like, get a couple, 3-4 of those things because that's my whole goal is that we need some of those for IE24. So I knew we'd need. I mean, I go to a Blues game last year and they're handing out energy drinks. So you know, you carry 2-3 back to the car, and that's where all.
Well,
those
thank
came
you.
From.
I've there are times when I get a little sleepy. I've never fallen asleep doing the show. I've come close.
Well, I mean, I remember the first year you were standing up in there. And
I was asleep on my feet. I was.
We got to the end of the show and you're like, I don't remember what happened 7 hours ago. I know last year you started drinking the energy drinks.
Those really helped. It really did help. I was trying coffee before, but you can only drink so much coffee.
Oh, so but
I go outside, run around a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, that was, that's pretty fun. You go run around the building a couple of times, get your blood pumping. And anytime I see those anywhere where they're handing them out, Todd, I think of you.
And
so
Jeff mentioned this before. It really helps to have people come in and visit us. So if you're just in the middle of the night, you just decide you just want to make a run up to Collinsville, Illinois, give us a call, and we will give you directions to the studio. And you can come and see us in the very depths of the night during Issues Etc. 24. We have people show up at 2, 3 in the morning sometimes. Just one young couple, remember the couple that came the first year? They showed up at like 11 o'clock at night. She fell asleep. He stayed until like 4, I think it was. She slept through the whole thing. It was very, it's very nice to have our listeners come and visit us.
And that's, as you mentioned, 3 Central Time in the afternoon on Friday, November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon on Saturday, November 3rd. And you can listen at for 24 hours live of Issues Etc., at issuesetc.org.
You can help promote it, too. We've got the Issues Etc. 24 video that's at our website, issuesetc.org, right there at the bottom of the page. You can watch it and then share it with your friends, send an email link, or share it on Facebook. It's the Issues Etc. 24 video. It'll tell you all the guests and the topics we'll be doing over the course of 24 hours.
This comes from Kathy. She says, I have a question for the show. For lack of a better term, I've seen drive-by communion started in at least one Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation that worships maybe 100 at a Sunday service rather than individual tables as is traditional. Any comments, thoughts on this? I personally feel a lack of reverence for this style, not to mention I feel hurried through the process, not unlike a fast food drive-through restaurant. Is this just personal preference for me, or are there any apologetics that would help me out? Thanks for considering this. And any help you might have, writes Kathy.
I think what she's referring to, now when you say drive-by, I think what you're referring to is not getting in your car and driving to a drive-up window at a church, which would be, I don't know why anyone would try that, but I guess as soon as I think no one would try it, someone probably has. She's referring to what is usually called pilgrim-style communion distribution, and that is people kind of walk up, they receive the elements, Christ's body, Christ's blood, with the words, but they don't stop and kneel at a rail. They don't stop and stand at a rail. They walk by, they receive it, and then they go back to their seat. Now, there are arguments to be made both ways. Usually what you'll find is at unusually large gatherings where communion logistically would be almost impossible to seat people, or that is to have people stand or kneel at a table or a rail, they will opt for this kind of communion practice, which, by the way, has a very long history in the Christian church. Before there were rails, before there were communion rails or places to kneel at the front of the church, Christians would often receive the Lord's Supper this way. That is, go to the front, receive the Lord's Supper, and then return to their seats. So there's nothing in and of itself wrong with that practice, but it does touch upon the communal nature of receiving Christ's body and blood. So are we losing something for the sake of time? Are we failing to confess something about the communal nature, gathering together around Christ's table? Of course, we're already breaking it up into individual tables to begin with. This is where human need and human necessity and the logistics of moving people from here to there and time meet with how we rightly practice the Lord's Supper according to Christ's institution and make sure that we're confessing all the right things about it in the way that we distribute it. There are compromised ways of doing this at the seminary. You would go, you would kneel, you would receive, and then you would immediately stand and leave. It's kind of a compromise. Some people find it very important to be on their knees for the Lord's Supper. I think it says a lot about what's happening there to be on your knees for the Lord's Supper. For some people, it doesn't make that big of a difference to them. But a church ought to accommodate especially in matters of the Lord's Supper, a church ought to be willing to accommodate, maybe take a little bit longer to do what you got to do. I think in a congregation of 100 people, which she mentioned, there's no reason to hurry through the Lord's Supper. If it were a congregation of 1,000 people, I'd say, you know, for the sake of time, all other things being equal, maybe you can do it that way. But in 100 people, there's no reason to hurry. You can sit down. You can kneel. You can stand together and receive the Lord's Supper.
Quick email from Brian. We visited our First Lutheran Church yesterday, and we will join as soon as possible. It is the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd here in Greenville, South Carolina. It is one of the churches on the Issues Etc. 300 list. It was amazing. We are leaving 15-plus years of membership in Reformed Presbyterian churches, almost 12 years at the one we are leaving, and Issues Etc. has played such an important role in that. You kept us sane increasingly over the last 5 years, but especially over the last year. Every time we were pointed in on ourselves, our own sanctification, our own improvement, really our own failure, Issues Etc. was there to point us outside ourselves to Christ.
Well, that's why we say it's not about you, as so many churches will try and convince you it is. It's about Jesus for you. And welcome to the Lutheran Fellowship. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues Etc. is straight ahead. We'll talk about being robed in Christ's righteousness.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.